Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome this morning to Hebron Presbyterian Church, you who are in person and you who are online. It is our prayer that in this Easter season you would experience the living presence of Jesus Christ here together. Just have a couple of announcements before we get started. We hope that you will join us on Saturday, May 30th at 4 p.m. for the annual church picnic at Overholme Farm. We've been saying Overholme Farm, but people don't know what that means. The Knuckles Farm is Overholme Farm. So it's at the Knuckles Farm. There's information in the weekly email in terms of the address, and of course you can talk to Ronnie and Churl about how to get there from here or from wherever you're coming from. Join us. We'll share in food and fellowship, cornhole, and you can bring your swimsuit, and there will be swimming. Again, like I said, for more information, look in the weekly email, contact the church office, or talk to Ronnie and Churl. You may have seen in this week's weekly email that we will soon begin our collection for Operation Christmas Child. We're doing it a little bit differently this year. And you may notice that Christmas will come early to Holman Hall. So this will be a more focused drive. We'll be collecting specific items in two-week increments. So whereas before we were going month by month, here are the things we need each month. But we're going to do a more direct and focused amount of time so that we can get all the things we need for our packing day in early November. So there will be more information in the coming weeks, but if you have any questions, speak to Carol Mittendorf. And finally, this morning, we are recognizing and celebrating our high school and college graduates. Much work has been done, I know, and the years of labor will continue. But I'd like to invite up our graduates. I can see amongst us Sylvia and Jack Bawa, and I'll name some others. So I invite you to come up, and we'll do some things. Okay, so I'll just invite you to say your name, where you're graduating from, and what's your next steps. I also want to name some others. I don't need that. I also want to name some others in our community who are graduating. Meredith Eastwood is graduating from Goochland High School, and she will attend Randolph-Macon. Morgan Nichols is graduating from Goochland High School, and he will attend the Savannah College of Art and Design. Julia Kistler has just graduated from Grove City College with a BA in English, a minor in classical Christian education, and a minor in music. She'll be getting married in July and will then reside and teach in Atlanta. Ronnie and Churl Knuckles' granddaughter Ruthie has graduated from Virginia Tech and has been accepted to the Virginia Maryland College of Veterinary Medicine at Virginia Tech. Is that right? That's a very prestigious program. And Renata's granddaughter is here. Okay. Your name?
Annalise.
Yes. Where you're what you're graduating from and what's the next steps?
Okay. My name is Annalise Rogerson. I graduated from JMU in December 2025, and I'm hoping to go into genetic counseling.
Wonderful. Okay. So we want to honor and recognize the work that all of these scholars have put into their work. Yes, ma'am.
A lot of you know my daughter Cynthia. Her oldest is graduating today from Case Western Reserve in Cleveland, and he's going to Japan to teach English as a second language next year. And her third son is graduating from Walnut Hills in Cincinnati this
Very good. Very good. We celebrate with you. Is there anybody else in our families or extended circles that we may have missed? Okay. Your granddaughter Darcy has graduated from Deep Run High School and is going to attend the Honors College at JMU.
And then the other thing is that his grandson graduated from the University of Wisconsin and is attending he's decided he doesn't want to speak his major in Mandarin. He's decided he wants to be a doctor. So he's going to the University of Pennsylvania and take a short course that will end in next week.
Very good. Okay, we celebrate with you and your family. Yes. Wonderful. We celebrate with you. Anyone else? Okay, well, I'd like to invite our current ruling elders forward if you are here. And we're going to pray over our graduates here and lay hands on them. And I also invite all of you as we pray over our graduates. Just want to come around on the other side. As is often our practice here, you know, reaching out our hands as a sign of blessing as we pray over our graduates, and remembering those whom we have also named. Okay. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for these years of hard work, which has resulted in more knowledge, more learning, more formation as the people you want these graduates to be. We thank you for all of the circumstances in their lives that have brought them to this point and the ways that you are also leading them forward. Lord, we pray that you would fill them with your grace and mercy, that it may abide with them and go with them as they make their next steps. Lord, you are with us throughout the long journey of life. You meet us in unexpected places, and you sustain us through it all. Remind these graduates and all those that we have named of your presence day by day. And form them, O God, more and more into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, that they may love, that they may show compassion and care, that they may work for the good of their neighbors, and that their studies may not be an end unto themselves, but a working out of your will in their lives. All this, God, we pray, giving you the praise, glory and the honor through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And the deacons have a gift. Okay, so join us in the fellowship hall after worship. The deacons have a gift for our graduates here. And there is just so much food. There's just so much food. So we hope that you will join us. Now let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Good morning. I'm Robin Williams. Wasn't that wonderful to hear about all the great things these young people are doing? Really makes my day full of sunshine. Please rise as we are called to worship. Hallelujah. Christ the Lord has ascended into heaven.
Come, let us adore him. Hallelujah.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors,
that the King of glory may come in.
Who is the King of glory?
The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
Thank you.
who are weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long to be comforted, to all who feel worthless and wonder if God cares, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a Savior, Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, welcomes you here and says to you, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things, mercifully give us faith to perceive that according to his promise, he abides with his church on earth, even to the end of the ages. Through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sins together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our own heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, made us alive with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. I would invite any of our young disciples to come forward for our children's message. This reminds me, here's your theological note for the day. There's a theologian named Gerhard Ferdi, and he was asked by his friends, you know, as you've gotten older, you know, do you think that you're more mature, like a more mature Christian? You know, do you sin less? Are you more sanctified? And he said, well, I think as I've gotten older, I have less energy to sin than I used to. But I definitely am more aware of God's grace to me. We're all young disciples. Good morning, good morning. Do you want to read a story with me? Okay, we're going to read a story called Does God Sleep? Does God Sleep? When you're tucked into bed and you've turned off the light, do you wonder if God ever sleeps through the night? Is God, I know, is God ever so sleepy he can't help but yawn? Does he stay up too late and then sleep in past dawn? No. Here's a big truth on which you can depend. God never sleeps, and his power never ends. God won't stay in bed with an achy, sick belly. He can't work out so hard that his arms feel like jelly. There's no jar of pickles God couldn't pry loose. There's never a battle where he's called a truce. God feeds all the birds and each bug crawling round. He forms every raindrop that waters the ground. He makes the sun rise, and he grows every flower. The world keeps on spinning by God's endless power. Now, people get tired. Yes, all of us do. Parents and children and even pups, too. But God never sleeps. And guess what he said? He'll watch over you while you snooze in your bed. So no need to fear, because God has all might. His power never ends. You can rest and sleep tight. The end. Will you pray with me? This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for showing us.
Thank you for showing us.
That you never sleep. But watch over us,
always.
Always.
Help us
to tell others,
how you love them.
In Jesus' name,
we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can go back to your pew or to the fellowship hall. Let us turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. O Lord God, as we remember your Son ascending to your right hand, as we listen to your word, and as we are guided by your Holy Spirit, we pray that you would lift us to Christ. Help us to learn at his feet and to receive his promise in faith. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter, starting in the 16th verse. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 812, or it will be up on the screen. So this is after Jesus has risen from the dead. He has met with his disciples on a number of occasions, and then he has led them out of Jerusalem, up the mount towards Bethany. You remember, he spent a lot of time in Bethany, but now he's on the Mount of Olives, talking with his disciples. Listen now to God's word, given to you in love. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you were here last week, you would have received an Ascension Day greeting card. Now, each one had a different piece of art depicting Christ ascending into heaven, and it had a themed message from a theologian or a poet or a hymn. Now, by far the fan favorite every time that we do this is the card that has the meme. And the meme says, "The Feast of the Ascension, celebrating the day Jesus began working from home." Our scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew is a bit of an ascension redux, returning to where we were before. For though Matthew does not record the exact ascension event itself, this scene that we just read is the exact same instance that we read of last week in Luke's gospel. Jesus is with his disciples on the mount near Bethany, and he is giving them his final instructions. Those final instructions which will set the tone for the church's mission and ministry for the coming centuries. We might call this the church's charter. It's a 10,000-foot view of what the body of Christ is to do in all the world. They are, in every nation, to go and make disciples of Jesus. They are to baptize into the name of the triune God, uniting believers together. And they are to teach everything that Jesus said and did. This is the life of God's gathered people in a nutshell. But then, Jesus tells them something that they may not have expected. He doesn't give them a command, but a promise. "Remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Up to this point, the disciples may have sensed that Jesus wasn't going to be with them much longer. Or they may have remembered the times that he said to them, "Where I am going, you cannot follow." They expected this man, their Lord, their God, their friend, they expected that he would go away and they would be left alone. Now, if they were afraid of what comes next, we can't blame them, can we? They were only human, after all. In our time, it has been said that we are in a loneliness epidemic. A report given by the U.S. Surgeon General in 2023 reported that the rate of loneliness among young adults has grown every single year since 1967. Approximately half of U.S. adults report being lonely. And that means, of course, that many of us gathered here have personal experience of that feeling. And whether we recognize it or not, this loneliness takes different forms. Like the disciples, it may be the fear of absence or abandonment by a loved one. It could be the result of the realities of growing isolation due to age or ability or life circumstance. Loneliness can be that feeling of a loss of connection, feeling empty even when others are around. Or, and this is often true for me, it's the feeling that you go it alone, that it's all on your shoulders to figure it out, whether it's in your work or your job or your hardships or whatever. It is the feeling of being stuck, nowhere to go, at the end of our rope. And now you can imagine what the disciples were feeling as they met with their friend one last time. If Jesus went away as they thought he would, what would this mean for them? What would this mean for the movement that they had been a part of, that he started? What would it mean for the community that he had brought together, now being left behind? You know, they could spend all their time, you know, teaching, making disciples, baptizing, striving. But would that all just come to nothing? Would they themselves just come to nothing in their Messiah's absence? It is here, at this point, this intersection of the disciples' fear and anxiety, that Jesus gives his promise of presence. I am with you always, to the end of the age. This is an unconditional promise of abiding presence. He doesn't say, if you do these things, if you make disciples, if you baptize, if you teach, then I will be with you. No. He says, I will be with you in the midst of your doing these things. He also doesn't say, if you can prove you're a good person, or if you can prove you have your life together, then I will be with you. No. But he gives a flat-out promise. I will be with you. It is unearned. It is freely given in love. In the fullest sense, let's take this to its fullest extreme. Jesus is saying to the disciples that he will go ahead of them to lead them onward, that he will come behind them to support them along the way, and that he will abide with them in divine communion, in friendship, always. This is what it means for the Lord Jesus to be present with them. He says, what he's saying is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And along with his presence comes all of his blessings, grace, forgiveness, and love forevermore. Even though Jesus will not be with them in the same way that he was before, he promises the disciples, and by extension the church, you and me, that he will always be near. I mentioned last week that we often think of the ascension as Jesus' distance from us, his absence from us, that Christ goes beyond the clouds and he leaves the church to do his dirty work. But in reality, the ascension means Jesus' immediate and abiding presence. His ascension is the means by which he fulfills this promise. As a man in Galilee, he could only be in one place at one time. But as the ascended Lord, he can be in every place and in every time, in every circumstance of our life. Christ is not merely present in spirit, like we might say, but by his Spirit, which he has sent into the world, he is present with you wherever you go. He is sitting just as near to you. He's present just as near to you as those beside you. Christ is present at your dining table as you break bread, over coffee and tea that you share with a friend, in reverent worship and in boisterous fellowship. Christ is there. In silence and in laughter, in waiting and in working, he is there. Jesus is with you unconditionally, always. And he is even and maybe especially with you when you feel most separate from him, when you feel most alone, when you are at the end of your rope with little hope or no recourse. Christ is there. In every dark night of the soul, Jesus is there. And with him are his blessings, grace, forgiveness, love for you. Christ's promise is yours. Remember, I am with you always. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what does this mean for the church and our witness? Because Jesus' presence is promised, because it's unmerited, unconditional, it means we do not have to rely on ourselves to generate his nearness. It is not incumbent upon our abilities or our charisma or our programs or even our perfections, if we even had any. It is not incumbent upon any of these things to manufacture an encounter with the risen Lord. He is already here. Where two or three are gathered together, he says, in my name, I will be there among them. And so we go out and we meet the lonely world with the message, the good news of the one who loved so much that he came to be with the world. Christ goes ahead of us, leading our witness. He comes behind us, supporting and equipping us for ministry. And he abides with us in love and friendship, sustaining us and giving us rest. We don't do mission or ministry on our own. It's not on our shoulders alone to figure it all out. Because Jesus is with us always, we know that he is steering this ship, and he will bring it to that promised shore. Our job is simply to listen, to trust, to follow him, and remember what he said. I am with you always, to the end of the age. Christ's ascension into heaven means you are never alone. We are never alone, but ever walking in the presence of our loving Savior. Amen. Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our good and gracious God, in the midst of our fear, anxiety, and loneliness, you give us Christ's promise to be with us always. Not because we deserve it or have earned it, but out of that great love with which you have loved us. In good times and in bad, in joy and in sorrow, remind us of your presence and fill us with your grace and peace. Help us to proclaim to all the world the truth of Jesus as God with us. Gathered in your presence, O God, hear us now as we pray. O God, our Creator, in your wisdom you govern the world, and by your providence you order our days. In the trials and tribulations of our time, help us to trust in your sovereign care and loving kindness. Remind us and empower us to cast our worries and cares on you, knowing that you keep us in the palm of your hand. Spread your peace abroad, and let justice and compassion spring forth in every land, that all your creatures may come to know you, their Lord and their God. We pray, O Lord, for our nation, that you would bind up what is broken and torn asunder, that you'd bring an end to our divisions and unite us in the common care of one another. Help us in our daily lives, in our working, in our leisure, in private and in public, in our politics, to remember each one is created in your likeness and image, worthy of dignity, love, and honor. Bless those in government and fill them with your spirit of wisdom and discernment, that they may work for the common good of all people, that they may be imbued with humility, compassion, and understanding, that you would bless the courts, that they may be a place where justice is done, that you'd bless the legislature, that they would hear the voice of the people, that you would bless the executive, that he may lead in your way. We pray, O God, help each and every one of us citizens of this land to not shirk off our duty to one another, but to take up the cause of our neighbor and to love the world that you love. Lord, we celebrate also this day those who have put in the hard work as students who are coming to the end of the school year, for those who are moving to the next grade, to those who are moving to college, to those who are moving into their first career. Remind them that you are the fount of all wisdom and that in you they live and move and have their being. Empower them so that they may work well, but with a view of your mercy and grace. Establish the work of their hands, O God, that these things may not be an end unto themselves, but may be for the greater good of the world. Help us to support the graduates in our lives and those who are taking their next steps down the journey of life. Help us to love and pray for and support them all the way. And show us and help them to voice when they need help, so that as a community of care, we may lift them up. God, our Redeemer in Christ Jesus, you come to be with us and for us. He preaches to us even now your word of peace and comfort. And by your Spirit, we are drawn close to you in love and friendship. Grant to your church on earth the grace to boldly witness in word and deed to all that Christ has done. We pray, Lord Christ, go ahead of us and lead us forward. Come behind us, O Jesus, and support and equip us. and abide with us, O Son of God, that we may know your love all the days of our life. We pray this day especially for our brothers and sisters in the church in Egypt. We pray that you would bless them with spiritual renewal, that you will raise up the next generation of faithful leaders, that you would prosper them against hardship and difficulty, that you may protect them by your word and Holy Spirit, that the church may thrive in that place and shine your light into their nation and to the world. Help us to learn from them as we love one another. And we pray for this church, O God, that you have called Hebron. Form us in your grace and mercy. Shape us according to your will. Grant us courage to step beyond what is expected, beyond what is normal, to what is faithful, to what is true, to what is God glorifying. Empower our witness to this community. Help us to open our door, open our hearts, and show forth our love to all those in need, that we may meet this lonely world, that we may meet the lonely in our community, that we may meet the lonely even within these walls, with the truth of your presence, with your grace, and with your love. Help us, O God, and lead us on. O God, our sustainer, in those times when we feel there is little hope, when we feel lost or alone, meet us in your love and grace. Renew us, revive us, and make us whole. And even while we wait, let us know that you are near. We lift to you all those this day who suffer in mind, body, and spirit, especially those we name before you now. Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we lift to you these our cares, trusting that you are the faithful one. For we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let us bring forth our life and labors before the Lord.
Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gifts that you pour out upon us in abundance, of our life and our labors, of our work and our leisure, all of which comes from your mercy. And so we give back these tokens of our gratitude and faith. Bless and sanctify them, multiply them according to your will. Help us to be good stewards of them, so that we may be your church in the world, proclaiming Christ and him crucified. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. To join us in Holman Hall as we celebrate our graduates. Jesus says to you, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. In that promise and in that hope, go from this place to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, forever. Amen.